I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing, and today I'm joined by Miranda Birch. Miranda, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you very much.
I'm going to ask you who you are, because I think you're quite famous.
Well, that's a lovely, lovely start. I'll leave you to dwell in that area of delusion, but yes, I'm Miranda Birch. And I set up my company about 4 years ago, but it was after a long stint at the BBC, a long happy stint at the BBC of around 24 years, where I worked on programmes like BBC Radio 4, National Network in the UK, Woman's Hour and Desert Island Discs, which has been going for more than 70 years. And I also helped to launch a new digital network in 2001, which is like the dark ages, isn't it, in the digital era, where we were broadcasting to 9 to 11-year-olds who aren't well known for loving speech radio. They're much more interested in music and computer games. But we launched it nevertheless, and it had a webcam and it had audio on demand, which sounds very, very ancient now, but at the time was quite cutting edge. So that was lovely.
Yeah.
And yes, so that was my 24 years at the BBC, and it was great.
And you were involved with Woman's Hour and Desert Island Discs, weren't you?
Yes, that's right. I was behind the scenes. I wasn't the on-air presence, but I was behind the scenes searching out stories, unearthing news angles, headlines. And I suppose that's what I do now, is from those days, really having in-depth conversations with potential guests, castaways on Desert Island Disc, and finding out what parts of their journey made them significant, what made them special, and often helping them open their eyes to just how amazing they were, because you can imagine a lot of castaways, Nobel Prize-winning scientists and business leaders, had often achieved at the age of 10, which I could never dream of achieving before I hit my 60s. You know, they were really amazing. So that's what I love doing that.
I feel like saying, and our first record is, but I won't.
I'm sure you have, yes, if you're not familiar with the programme, it's 8 special discs that you take to your island, and I bet you've got 8 up your sleeve that you'd play. But
oh God, I'd really have to think about that. Anyway, let's not get distracted, because I'm famous for getting distracted and distracting my desks, even my guests. So basically, you're very good at sort of interviewing people and getting stories out of people and stuff like that, and that's what I want to explore today, because I think that stories make great content, and content is very, very sort of high on the agenda. Is that the right phraseology in today's sort of marketing, or certainly online marketing world? What benefits does the process of being interviewed bring to businesses, would you say? You know, businesses want to produce good content.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, isn't it? We live in a world of content marketing. And of course, the podcast at Site Visibility is a really good example, isn't it? It just shows that if you run your own business and you've grown it over 5, 10, 15 years, you build up all that expertise, you know, all the challenges you've overcome.
Yeah.
So you're in a really good position to become your own publisher. So like Site Visibility, obviously you're producing brilliant, what were in the olden days radio programs. They just happen to be audio podcasts.
Yeah.
And I'd say the same of any business. And you might like writing weekly news articles or magazine, or becoming your own video vlogger. So all of that is at your disposal. But I think where I go back to my journalistic and program making days is obviously to do that, to produce that content that's really going to grab your audience, you have to be really clear in your own mind A, what you want to say, and B, who that audience is. So going back to my days of working on Radio 4, and you were regularly broadcasting to the movers and shakers, business leaders, politicians, very different to the 9 to 11-year-old audience on what was the old BBC Seven digital network. I mean, it seems obvious, but it's having that journalistic nous to think, okay, what is it? What part of my story, what part of my values, the challenges I've overcome, is really going to grab the attention of my potential clients who may be any age, different parts of the world.
Yeah.
So it's that dual thing of looking back over your shoulder at the journey that you've been on, picking out the bits that are really going to persuade that audience that you really are an expert in your field. You really care about your work. You're not just coasting towards retirement. Those little strands of your story that then grab your audience attention. And that, I suppose, that's what I bring now, and that's what I love doing with businesses, because let's face it, they put a lot on the line, don't they, often to deliver products and services, and that's what makes their stories compelling. And it's trying to get those things, unearth those goodies that persuade their audience they really do mean business, as it were. Excuse the pun, I didn't mean that.
So you know, interviewing, sort of taking the interviewing approach does work particularly well for owner-managed businesses, doesn't it, Miranda? Why do you think that is?
I think it's at two levels. One is what I've just mentioned, which is about often if you've set up your own business, you've worked late into the night, you've sacrificed, you know, your family, your weekends, whatever, your house is mortgaged or whatever, you've gone through that phase and you've built it up. So there are the beginnings of what, you know, olden fairy tales and folk tales, that those senses of drama, the challenges, the baddies that you overcome. But I think as well, why I gravitate to that sort of person is often they're really busy in their day to day. They're managing teams, they're juggling accounts, they're thinking about their positioning and their branding. And so if you could just stop for a moment, and I think often this comes when a client or a colleague gives you a bit of feedback and they say, thanks so much for hitting that deadline, or, you know, I look forward to working to you. And they say something off the cuff and it makes you stop and take stock.
Yeah.
And look back and think, oh, yeah, that's right. I've always been good with people. Or at school, I always delivered my essays on time, or whatever it may be. And it makes you think back. And I think that process of just taking stock for, say, an hour-long conversation where, you know, if you're working with a journalist, but it could be a friend or colleague who are just asking you open questions about how you began and what matters to you and what you find rewarding. Those open questions, which are quite journalistic, often elicit really interesting stages and milestones of your story, which then you can convert into blog posts and articles, or help you frame where you stand in the marketplace. You know, if you stop and pause, often what you care about may be very different to what your competitors care about. So it's distilling your distinctiveness, if you like, by having that open conversation with a third party asking you questions, which is because I'm very curious. And as I say on my website, I can't help getting an inane smile when I'm talking to people. I just find it fascinating seeing how companies come into being and the lengths people go to do it. So that if you can capture that and then distill it and carve it up, then you can have some really great content on your website.
And people, especially entrepreneurs, they love answering questions, don't they? They love talking about themselves. I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, everyone loves talking about themselves. But that leads me on to another thing, actually, because there's a couple of sort of questions, I think, that are still quite prevalent out there. I think people think, sort of, you mentioned about the history and people talking about their stories. I just wondered how far back someone needs to go when they're talking about that. But also, off the back of that, do you think it pays to be honest? I mean, what if you did something really silly? Do you think it's sort of good to be honest about it and weave that into the story as well?
Okay, so two questions there. So
two for the price of one. Sorry, I keep doing that. Two for the price of one.
No, that's good. So going, how far back do you go, first of all? I would say from my experience, you go back much further than you would think. Because I think often if you're working in a professional sphere and you're putting on your professional face and saying, right, this is my business and my qualifications are a diploma or a certificate, or I did some vocational training. So especially if you're on a professional service like accounting or architecture, you tend to start from that moment when you were studying and you had something on paper to prove that you had that expertise.
Yeah.
And all of that is really important, of course. Often you do need that sort of official recognition, and that may come through client testimonials or whatever. But I think when I talk to entrepreneurs and the founders of businesses, often you go back to childhood, actually, and you think back to particular skills. So I'll give an example of a business. It's Crunch Accounting, which is one of the fastest growing businesses, I think, in the UK. And I interviewed one of the co-founders and CEO, Darren Fell, at a chamber lunch. And when I asked him, because he's not an accountant, he's the entrepreneurial side of this partnership. And I said, well, where does that come from? And he said, well, my sisters had an end of year dance show and I teamed up with my dad and we produced videos of the show and we sold them at about £10 a pop. Yeah. Now, other boys that I know were probably playing with Lego, nothing wrong with that. But it's when people tell stories of that, and then he goes on to say that he invented a pressure pad outside his bedroom. So when you stepped on it, it gave him full warning that an adult was about to enter the room or whatever. You know, and you think that inventiveness, that creativity is why he should be managing this accountancy system, which basically is aimed at other creative people, entrepreneurs who, let's be honest, probably aren't that great at maths and want to get on with the business of inventing or creating and need something like Crunch or any other accountant to take that hassle away from them. Mm. And Darren understands that because at the age of 10, he was being entrepreneurial. So it's when you trace your steps back, and I could apply that. There are lots of stories like that on my blog. There's an architect that I interviewed whose grandfather invented a snowplow in his garage when it was snowing heavily in Devon. Yeah. Now, most people tinker about. Again, a source of creativity. And you're probably thinking, well, so what? What does that prove? And I would say that adds value. And again, in terms of content, yes, you may have a profile page which lists all your academic achievements and the fact you're chartered. But so your competitors will have a similar list of degrees and formal qualifications. Yeah. So what sets you apart often are stories like that that demonstrate and prove to your audience that actually you really love your work as well. Yes, you went through the mill and got all those qualifications, but actually you started way back. It's another way of saying 10,000 hours, isn't it? Does it take 10,000 hours to be an expert? Well, actually, that's another way of saying it, isn't it? In an approachable human way, which if you go back to the cliche of businesses, is doing people with business, which I totally buy into, then of course those stories are a way of fleshing out your CV and really demonstrating that you care about your work. So, you know, stories are really important.
And it shows there's a real person behind them, doesn't it? Real human being, yes. Yes.
And yes, of course, if you've done something particularly silly, now I suppose I'd turn the question back at you and say, what do you mean by silly? Because of course, silly could be that
classic mistakes, you know, classic business mistakes maybe, or getting something wrong and it cost, you know, the business went back a bit or the business was going in reverse and you had to quickly reverse, just things like that that you might be a bit embarrassed about, I suppose.
Yes. Well, I would say it depends. If you've learnt from those mistakes and they made you stronger, and depending on, as long as you're not ranging into criminal activity.
Yes, yes.
You know, so if often I think people's...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
attention is grabbed by a challenge. And often that is learning from your mistakes. And I have a video on my website which says that I'm not that great at maths and I find bookkeeping quite onerous. Mm. And should I really be admitting that as a business owner? And actually encountering someone who finds business accounting as exciting as surfing opened my eyes actually to a different way of looking at math. So I, on my own website, admit to some of my deficiencies. So in a sense, when you admit to your deficiencies and then explain how you may have overcome those challenges, that makes you more human. And I would say as long as the outcome is something that you have learned and applied, then probably it is worth telling that story.
Yes.
But you have to make a judgment call, obviously.
Yeah.
But don't be afraid to show what you think are your vulnerabilities, because often it's by overcoming those vulnerabilities. It's rather like the old fairy tales. If Snow White had just breezed through the forest and eaten as many apples as she wanted and never encountered a witch, so what?
Yeah.
But the very fact that she had to deal with a baddie makes her more interesting, and everyone's human and has vulnerabilities. So if you've learned from that, I would say what was a silly mistake can actually show your strengths in the end, if you can show how you've got through it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But you have to make a judgment call, I think.
Yeah, I think you have to decide very carefully, don't you?
Yes. Does that answer your two questions?
It does answer my two questions. I was also wondering, you alluded to the process of like telling, you know, the person being interviewed, telling their story out loud. And I was wondering how that helps you as a business leader or a team leader.
Yes. I think from experience, what I witness, and again, you may notice this as well, when someone gives you feedback or you're in conversation with something, they may say something about you meeting a deadline. And you've always taken that ability to hit a deadline for granted. And just having someone else say it about you, or you say it yourself in a different way, it makes you stop and think. And it helps you see the full extent of your skills and expertise. So when people have talked about how they began a long time ago, I know Darren said to me afterwards, you know, I hadn't really thought about myself being an entrepreneur at that early age. And it suddenly opens your eyes to the fact that actually the skills that you thought you had are much wider. And the passion you had, and I suppose that's the other thing, is when you start reliving those moments where you really enjoyed your work, or you got your first client, or you did a first pitch and it went really well, you relive those moments and suddenly it floods you with that emotion. I don't know, you just think back to a moment where you felt really proud of yourself. So in talking about it, you become more energetic, your delivery speeds up, and you become more engaging.
Yeah,
because people, don't you get spurred on when someone's getting really into the flow and warming to their theme, and you think, wow, they're impressive, they really enjoy what they're doing. Again, it goes back to, you're not really coasting, you really do love what you do. Yeah. So when you're reliving those moments, A, it gives you an idea of all the skills you've got at your disposal, and B, it reminds you of your passion. And I suppose an example I came across was somebody who set up a system, and there are quite a few of these systems around, but he spent 15 years developing a system which helps people identify their strengths at work. And when he was telling that story of going through Jungian studies and analysis, you really understand the lengths he's gone to. And you know, you were talking about setbacks and moments where you doubt yourself, and he had those moments too, but you came out at the end thinking, he's been on this 15-year journey, this is a wonderful system he's created, he's put his heart and soul into it. Wow, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
So it's the what you say and how you say it, and then the insights you gain as you're talking, and you look back and you think, wow, actually I've done quite well over the 15 years. I really have made progress.
Yeah. So have you ever been interviewing someone and they've come up with a new idea during the interview?
They've certainly come up with insights about themselves. So, and I'll be honest, sometimes people get quite heated, and occasionally there are tears welling up in their eyes because they suddenly realize that the value of what they're doing is much more powerful than they've given credit for.
Yeah.
So I suppose something that I did quite a big project. I call it speed storytelling on my site, because I recorded with a filmmaker 40 interviews over 2 days.
Wow.
Which was quite some going.
Yeah.
And they were all stylists for House of Colour, which is you know, a big company. And on the surface, you'd think, oh, well, it's just about color and style. That's quite superficial. But actually, they've been going for 30 years and they know there's this virtuous circle. And you've probably encountered it when you're networking and someone's looking surreptitiously at their watch or over your shoulder. And you suddenly think, oh, I'm not making much of an impact here. And you feel a bit small and you think, oh, what can I do to grab their attention? Yeah. Or you're networking and someone's watching you with rapt attention, you think, oh, that's good. And they, House of Colour, recognise that there's this wonderful circle between what you present to the world and how people respond to you and how confident that makes you feel. And that's the context in which they work in terms of colour and style, that it's not just pretty colours. It really is. It does make a difference to how you're perceived. And that goes for men as well as for women. But so you move from this apparently superficial sector of colour and style to something that's much more weighty, that, you know, actually how you present yourself to the outside world is like a core skill. It should be part of the MBA or a life skill. But how do you articulate that? And I think in the 40 stories that I talked to stylists about, they were all, and this is another technique that you can use to make your content more compelling and more engaging, is just go down into the detail. So with each of them, what I was doing was drilling down to that moment when they wore the right colour and it made a huge difference to them, to the extent that one woman said, well, I kept getting promotions and I could only understand that it was down to how I looked. Yeah. Or someone, a male speaker, doubled his fees as a result of understanding what he looked good in and how he presented himself to the world. So when you drill down into that specific moment and you're recapturing what they felt at that moment and the amazement when they got a 22% pay rise or they won a pitch and they didn't really say anything, that comes out in their story. The story only lasts about 2 minutes, but the audience can really understand the difference that colour and style, they may have thought rather superficial subject, actually makes a huge difference to someone's life, to their business. And if you're a business owner, how you present yourself, your shop front is really important. And I can't really remember your question, Andy. Safe to say, you know, it does make a difference when you focus on a story and then people watch that and are really impressed by it.
Yeah, I had remembered the question, actually. Have people come up with ideas while you've been interviewing them?
Yes, and I suppose that's what I witnessed, that they did. Yeah. They suddenly saw themselves in a new light and they understood the full value of what they were doing as stylists. In answer to your question.
I mean, we've talked about sort of telling your story and maybe being interviewed. I just got one final question, actually. It's a bit of a left field question, so don't worry if you struggle a bit with this one. But you're probably, like me, you're probably biased towards audio because of your sort of work in the radio industry. But do you have any sort of opinions on sort of like audio versus, you know, text versus video in terms of these stories?
I think, again, it always goes back to your audience. And funnily enough, I've written about it on my blog very recently, that what you choose and how you decide to deliver your story. So you're absolutely right. I may have a conversation with somebody about their story and their journey. And yes, so they'll turn it into different formats. And I think which route you go down really depends on how you think your audience is best able to digest that information. And of course, your audience may cover a whole range of people. So in fact, you might have one particular story that actually translates very well in audio because you happen to know your audience spend lots of time commuting on the train. And the story is intricate and subtle, and actually it probably needs 20 minutes rather than a 2 minute in the moment, you know, soundbite of a particular moment of revelation. But this is a longer story where you are talking through some of the challenges you've overcome and you need that time. So I think it really depends on your audience. And probably the nature of your story, that you might, for one story, might generate lots of little snippets, you know, moments of revelation, and another, actually, you really do need to get from A to B and you need to spend time doing it. So I don't think there's a rule of thumb that applies to everybody. I think you have to make a judgment as to what your audience really wants, whether they love audio and like listening and have got time to listen. Or it may be you adopt the film trailer. You have a little snippet that trails ahead to an audio director's cut version on your website. A teaser. Yeah. So you combine it, which, you know, I think often people overlook, that you can combine a little snippet in writing and team it up with a bigger audio bit, or combine quotes with photographs. There are any number of ways you can tell your story, but you just have to think about your audience and what they're going to respond best to, really.
Well, Miranda, thank you so much. It's been a real revelation talking to a real journalist from I'm not exactly a fake journalist, but I'm a sort of an online self-taught journalist. So how can our listeners find out more about you and your journalistic approach to generating content?
I suppose the place where I allow myself free rein is on my blog, which is mirandabirchmedia.co.uk/blog. Yeah. And there I have lots of stories, which may be people that I've interviewed at live events or people I've met over coffee, or they may involve clients. You know, it's a whole mixture, but it just gives you an idea of how, when you tell your story and trace your journey, you can convert it into lots of different forms of content. And there's a series I've been working on as well called Don't Dry Up, so that if you're struggling with that blog and keeping it going from week to week, year to year, there are just different techniques and different ways of carving up a conversation that helps you generate lots of different types of content. And it could be an audio podcast, it could be a little film, or it could just be little snippets on Twitter. It's entirely up to you. But I just like to think of it as a resource, and you can just plunder it as much as you want.
Yeah, well, maybe we can talk about not drying up in another episode if you're game, Miranda.
Well, as you notice, not drying up is one of my problems. You have to say, stop, Birch, please. So, yes, I'd love to answer to your question.
Yeah, that would be great. Well, I'm going to dry up now because I'm going to do my exit. So thanks for listening, everyone. The show notes are in the usual place, sitevisibility.com/impodcast. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. And if you fancy writing a review, that would be great because it helps us to grow the audience. If you want to connect with me personally, I'm Dr. Pod, DocTorPod, on Twitter and LinkedIn. Just mention the IM podcast if you want to connect on LinkedIn. And we're also looking to answer some questions from our audience in the future episodes of the podcast. So send us any questions that you'd like to answer to podcast@sitevisibility.com, and we'll aim to get those answered. And we also have a telephone hotline, +44 1273 256 150, if you want to leave a voice message or a voice question. Well, that's all from me, Andy, and it's all from Miranda.
Bye-bye. Thank you very much. It's been delightful.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.